Well, good morning. My name is Mike Swanson. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my privilege to welcome you to our service today. Looking forward to a really good service, and I'm glad that you chose to be with us. If you are visiting with us, a special welcome to you. But let me start with a word in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and as we think about the past year or so, that is very easy to do, thinking about your goodness and the way you have supplied, the way you have met needs. It has not been without difficulty and trial as we've gone through this, but Father, you have been there every step of the way, guiding and directing, and we are thankful for that. We're thankful for this day, for the opportunity to come together, to celebrate, and Father, to gather around your word in ways that point us to all that you have done for us and all that you are continuing to do and will be doing in the future. And I thank you for that, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. It is a pleasure to lead you in worship this morning. And my name is Fred Holcomb, the worship leader here at Grace. And as Mike said, to sit back and enjoy. But right now I'm going to ask you to stand and participate and sing and praise the Lord with us as we sing, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing Our Great Redeemer's Praise."
Sing with us. Sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the fathers clean.
All right. Good to be here. Thank you for, I'm very honored that you've asked me to give a charge to the congregation. Last week we had Brother Chris Gaither with us, and he did a fabulous job with a charge to us all. And I've decided just to record that and play that for you, but but it was about 45 minutes long, so I think I better not do that. Let me say first of all how thankful I am, and I know you are, for the leadership of our staff and deacon boards through the past year. They have just done a marvelous job, and I think we better give them all a hug after church. The deacons as well, we don't see them up front, but they have just done an outstanding job. I want to say a few things, and they only give me a few minutes, and if I go over time, there's a thing that sinks right here in the floor, and then I'm going to be in trouble. In Philippians, I just want to make a few comments from the beginning of that book in the first chapter, verses 3 through 6. The Philippian church was the first Gentile church that was started, and Paul, of course, had wanted to go in another direction, but he was told by God that he was to go to Philippi. Philippi was the capital of that particular area of the Roman Empire. So he went there, no converts, he's going into a Gentile world, and of course he goes out by the water, and there he finds Lydia. And Lydia comes to know the Lord with her whole family, and that is the beginning and the foundation of a church that is built in that city. From Lydia then, of course, he gets thrown in jail and wins the jailer to the Lord. It's the only guy I know of that liked to go to prison because he could have a great ministry, and he worked there for quite a period of time, more of the longer times, and then he was finally, because of a miracle that he performed, he was finally kicked out of the city and had to leave. 10 years later, that all happened about 52 AD. 10 years later, he writes a letter back to the church that he had founded. And I think it's beautiful to see the heart and what he's saying. From prison, he writes back to them. And let me read a few of the verses here, and then we'll just make a few comments. We don't have a lot of time. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who has begun a work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He writes back to this church, and I kept thinking, here's Paul. I don't know if I mentioned, in 62 AD, he was in prison in Rome, and I'm sure they were bringing him steaks and all kinds of things. Here he is in prison, all the things that he's going through. He was beaten, and there he writes back to them, and he talks about joy. I'm saying, what is going on? What is his problem? He talks about joy, and he said, I pray for you all the time. And what a heart this man had for a ministry that he was not even involved in anymore. He hadn't been there for years and years, but he knew what God had established there, and he's praying to them, well, I just want your ministry to go. I want your ministry to go. And I think that's important for us to understand. He then shares with them something that I think is really crucial, because of your partnership in the gospel. I think sometimes we get the idea we can get a pastor to come in and just, you take over, you get this thing all going, fill all of this and get all this money in and get our ministries going and all that. That's not what he's saying. Paul's not even in this church. And he says to them, the greatest joy that I have is the partnership that I have with you in the gospel. And from a personal standpoint, I just want to say, I have two families. I have a biological family, and we just went through that at Christmas time, everywhere, kids and grandkids and soccer and throwing things and all of that. I love them. I love the grandkids. I also love when they go home. But we had a wonderful time, wall-to-wall kids, and God is blessing in such a wonderful way with my family. But I have two families. My second family is sitting right here. And you are a very, very important, crucial part of my family. I don't know what I'd do without you. When I come in here, I got people praying for me. If I got issues, if my wife has issues, this is my family. and we work together. And I, not only that, as I look out there, and this could go on and on forever, but I look at people throughout this congregation who have meant so much to me. I've had a chance with people from this church. I have traveled to, I can't even tell you all the countries, Okinawa, I've been to Russia, I've been to Israel, I've been to Dominican Republic, I've been to Puerto Rico at least 11 times, I have been to Chile, I have been to Peru, I've been all over the world with people from here. Why are we going? We aren't going sightseeing, people. We're going out there building churches and fixing things and repairing things and doing cleanup. That's why we were in Puerto Rico. And I look around out here, and I don't know where Tom Crum, he's standing up there. That is Mr. Special. In Puerto Rico, he would get up every morning before the rest of us and clean the area where we were going to work. And that's the kind of people we have in this church, and that's where it needs to go. Alicia Snyder, where are you? She's back here. Hiding. I'm sorry to bother you. When you go into the ESL program, you see the Linda Shenefield, and you see others that are going around hugging these people and sharing the gospel. I saw Lucy somewhere. Is Miguel hiding from me? Great ministry that they've had. I can see you up there. Great ministry they've had. I remember hauling in loads of stuff to sell, and they would do a market out here and paying to help for them to go to a country and serve and minister there. And I could just go on and on with people here. I remember one more thing. I got all kind of I came in with a whole bucket of garbage, not garbage, it was liquid stuff to pour in the sink of the church back here. So I went in with a bucket, I poured it into the sink. Little did I know that Paul, where are you, Paul? Paul Snyder, he was on the other side of the wall and had taken out the bottom of the sink. And I poured it in, and then he comes out. What did you do? I said, I had soaked him good. I see Kurt and Pat. I don't know, they're somewhere around here. They were around here putting the bark in around the church. Our whole Sunday school class came, and they had to finish up the rest. I could just go on and on and on with people that have given their lives and have served. That's the partnership of the gospel. Unfortunately, many of the people that I have named are growing older. I know that's hard to believe. And I am thrilled with our young people that are beginning to come along and take the reins and take the plow and beginning to do the work. We have a great, great ministry here, Pastor, and I am just thrilled to be a part of it. His last comment, and I have to quit, his last comment is, "He that began a good work in you will carry it on and complete it till the day of Jesus Christ." This ministry can't end. We have so many important ministries. We have missionaries all over the world. We have got to keep supporting them. We've got a wonderful Spanish ministry. We have an ESL program. We have all of these programs. We have churches that we're helping with. We need, as a church, to gather behind. We didn't bring a pastor in to do all this. We brought a pastor in to lead us and pray for us and train us and give us some guidance and some help. And that's what we need to do as believers. This ministry, and I hope it will go on and on. And the thing that kind of scares me is I have two of the four colleges that I've graduated from are not here anymore. They've gone out of business. And I can name school after school after school, church after church after church. That can't happen. God's got a ministry going here, and we need to grab a hold and carry on. Pastor, we're excited about your coming, and I just want us to be ready to carry on that ministry and for the blessing that you'll be to all of us. I have to quit. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And I know serving on the committee with ushers can come on forward. I know serving on the search committee with Bill, his heart is for this church. It really is. And he loves all of you, and so do we. And we're just praying that the Lord gives us wisdom and direction as we go forward. We're going to take our offering this morning, and the choir is going to sing lifting up a song of praise for the glory of your name. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give. May it be from our hearts, rejoicing for what you are doing in our lives and for what we anticipate you doing in the future. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Continue our celebration this morning. I am here, Scott Staub. My name is Scott Staub. I'm a missionary sent out by this church, started in 1994. I currently serve as the Asian and European Director for Source of Light International. But we spent some 17 years in Romania. And a few months or several months ago, we started wearing these little armbands, and we began praying for a pastor. We didn't know that it was going to be Pastor Adam. We didn't know that he had a family attached with some guys there, and I've got my boys here too. So I love that, and all our college students that are home right now, it's great having them here. But we began wearing this to pray for our pastor, and we began to pray for our search committee and for our church as a whole to have unity. And it's great. In such a time of rejoicing, I saw Fred tearing up as we sang this morning, just the overwhelming blessing that this is to see answered prayer. But as we served in Romania, I always think of shepherds because we saw them all the time when we were in Romania. Matter of fact, Psalm 1:1 says, Domnul este pastorul meu. So the Lord is my shepherd. It's the same word, pastorul meu. As we think about the challenges that come before us, I want to bring a missionary perspective. Many of you I've traveled with on missions trips. We're getting ready to send David and his dear family to Moldova and be in prayer for them. But as we think about this and we think about our time together, I just have a couple of challenges for you, some ideas. And first of all, I want us to continue to pray. So if you will, if you still have your little armband, if you put that on, it'll give you an opportunity to share what we're praying for. We are praying for unity. We are praying for our pastor and his family to become accustomed to Chattanooga, to send us out with a vision. I've seen God answer prayer. And now we ask the Lord to help us submit to His will and listen to our new under-shepherd as He guides us, as He teaches us, as He brings us along the way. Secondly, I want us to focus on the changing city that we live in. Many times we just write it off and say, oh, we're in the Bible Belt. But let me tell you, for the past few months, as I've been working in a secular setting as well, there's not a lot of Christianity that's being talked about in our city. We have a great opportunity to share the gospel. It's great to hear all these things that are planned from ministries out of our church, whether it's reaching women in risk, whether it's reaching our own children here in the public school system. We have an opportunity to share the gospel. And so today I want to challenge us to have a burden for the lost. We have a situation here where we have a Christian school, and many times we don't even get out of our Christian bubble. So let me challenge you. Let's get out of our Christian bubble. Let's make friends with those who are lost and share the gospel. Be that light in our community. Pastor Love, my challenge to you is from a fellow shepherd, is we need a shepherd. Now, we may not like what it means when we talk about shepherding. We may not like being corrected, but we do need a shepherd. And I'm looking so forward to working alongside you and working with you. And we are so thankful to have you. You are an answer to prayer, and we are so thankful for that. As I close this evening, or this morning, I want us to focus on this idea of cross-cultural ministry as well, that we continue to reaching those all over the world. Under Dr. Euler's leadership, we were sent out from this church, and it's an honor for me to be here this morning with him in the audience, because that shows continuity. It shows God's work continuing. I want us to look forward to engaging with our extended family all over the globe. Finally, our last challenge is that we are to be obedient disciples. The key passages that we have been alluding to and have been focusing on is in Ephesians 4, 11 through 17. And we have the Word of God, but yet oftentimes we are not obedient disciples. And so I want to challenge all of us that we will follow and be true disciples of God. Sometimes we have so much knowledge about God's word, but we seldom put it into practice. So may we put God's word in our hearts. Leave the worldly pleasures behind, as the words of David Brainerd, a cross-cultural missionary right here in Chattanooga, once said, "There is no comfort, I find, in any enjoyment without enjoying God and being engaged in his service." May God bless you. May God bless Grace Baptist Church.
Thank you, Scott.
Wow, the day is finally here. For 14 months, we've been praying about this. And I have not, Scott, taken off my yellow band. I said something to Mary the other day. I wonder if they want us to take them off. I'm glad you answered that question for us. It falls my opportunity to give a charge to the pastor and to talk to him, and you get to listen in on some of the things along the way. And we're looking particularly at that passage in Ephesians 4:11, where it says, "And he himself," talking about the Lord, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And of course, one of the things, this is one of the three great passages that talk about spiritual gifts. And that's one of the first areas that you camp on all automatically, is the fact that we're not talking about some kind of an election, some kind of an office. We're talking about a spiritual gift. And what our committee and our deacons and the leadership of the Spirit in all of our lives did was it confirmed in our hearts the gifts that God has given you, and that we see you ministering in our hearts and lives. And as you look at the scripture, it says there was apostles and prophets, and unless you're from Utah, you really would believe that the apostles and prophets, those have long since gone by the wayside. In fact, the scripture says that this was the foundation that the church was built upon. But then, what functions and what moves in this day and time, and what functions and moves in this day and time is evangelists and pastors and teachers? And it's three specific kinds of gifts. As I look at those, evangelist seems like a lost calling in this day and time, but I think of an evangelist especially every time we send a missionary out. So as David and his wife and family are going out, one of the things that we see in his life is that he's going to have that opportunity to go someplace and to do those sorts of things. And we've been blessed through the years by many great evangelists. But the focal point is on the word pastor and on the word teacher. And I don't really think it's separate gifts, although pastors have to do the work of an evangelist, and they also have to be apt to teach. And so the scripture makes it pretty clear how those things all set together. But the word pastor, as you find it in the New Testament, it's basically from a root word that means to protect. One of the things that we're counting on Pastor Adam to do for us is to be perceptive and to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, to keep us from making poor choices and making decisions that would not honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the scripture talks about the fact that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep in John 10. He's the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20, and he's the chief shepherd in 1 Peter. It's interesting that the Lord used those very words in talking to Peter in John 21, and he applied those things to Peter and that ministry he had. Peter, in turn, took those same concepts and applied them to other church leaders in 1 Peter 5:2. And Paul, when he was at Miletus talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, did the same thing in Acts chapter 20. But what's so interesting, and in my Bible, you've got to turn the page, is to see the function that God has for you, Pastor Adam. It says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ." Now, I remember I first started studying, I thought, well, that's interesting. That's a three-point outline, isn't it? Equipping the saints and for the work of the ministry. And in the text itself, it kind of sets up in that fashion. But once you get ruined by Greek classes, you find out that that those words all kind of work together. There's really only one purpose. The purpose is that God has, and Bill alluded a little bit to this, in the fact that this is the equipping, the training of the saints. Now, the saints, that's me and thee, right? We're the saints. We're the ones that are having this opportunity. We have a pastor that equips us and encourages us for the work of ministry. And the word ministry there, of course, is it's built off the same word that we get the word deacon for service, that kind of thing. But who's responsible? Who has this opportunity? We're equipped to serve, as both Scott and Bill brought to our attention, and ultimately for it's the building up of the body of Christ. Now, how in the world do those things happen? And how in the world do those things come together? And how will it come together in your life? And I think that's where we look at 2 Timothy. And in chapter 4 it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be a herald of God's word. Ultimately, it's God's word that is going to deal with hearts and lives. It's going to correct families. It's going to make the best possible direction and focus in our lives. And if I could say anything to you, preach the word. Lord bless you.
Well, it feels a little bit surreal to finally be here, and at the same time, we are very grateful for the stage that God has given to us to be here with you, and looking forward to serving together. Much of what has been shared is really in our heart's desire. Appreciate each one's attention. One of the things that I love about the ministry is that it is less and less about me, and it's more about us, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us to do something great for His glory and not for one man's glory. My family and I are grateful to be here. It's good to also have my eldest son, Caleb. Many of you didn't have a chance to meet him, and I hope that you will, especially tonight. He is heading back on Saturday to go back to college, but we're glad that he could be able to come and get a little bit acquainted with you and you with him. And we appreciate the many prayers, the many hands, those who came to help us pack up and load up and drive down and everything, and the several men who took time away during their vacation time. And I just want to say a special word of thank you. And then getting here Monday, and I know we had several that showed up. I lost count after, I think about 10 showed up, somewhere about that. And one, where's she at, Miss Pat? Where's she at? No, well, Rachel was up there, but unloading even. We had a lady who came and braved all those men, kept us in line. That's what it was. And at the same time, we're just grateful for the help and the gifts and people stopping. My wife the other day, I have never been somewhere where I've had so many people come by, say hi. And, you know, it's been just an outpouring of love. We have so appreciated that. We want to say a thank you, a very strong thank you to that. I'm looking forward to what is ahead of us. I really am. I believe that God has so prepared each of us, you as a church, myself as a minister of His Word, together to come as now together as the church, the visible representation of Jesus Christ. And we could look, and I know that there are multiple other groups meeting right now in our own city here, and there are good churches around us. But what I've always been amazed at is how God draws certain people together for the purpose that He is preparing them to do things in a way that no other church would be able to do. And that is something that's unique. There is a reason for Grace Baptist Church to exist. And there is a reason for us to diligently seek after Him and to understand His purpose, His leading in our lives together. And as I think about this, it draws me to appreciate, as you have been so challenged through the book of Ephesians, and I love this portion, and I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 here, and I'm not going to belabor some of the points, but I want to go and appreciate the flow and the context, and when I came and I candidated, we were here in the book of Ephesians, and I've said some things, but I want to reiterate a couple points, and then I want to go on and then sort of just leave us with a thought, and I know that our time here together needs to eventually come to an end, and But I do want to just kind of rally around the thought and put us into perspective and give you a little bit of my heart. And over the next weeks ahead, I hope that we can clarify the attention, the direction, the desire that I have as a pastor, as a leader. But at the same time, it's the old saying, if no one's following, you're not really doing a good job leading. And so we need to have some clarity. I want to establish a vision as best as I can. And at the same time, I love the fact that it's vision for a church is kind of, in many ways, the microcosm of the bigger picture. We get to see our participation as God wants us to be involved in His great plan. And so we're going to be looking at what can we do as a church? What are we doing that is good and adequate and the things that need to shift and adjust and adapt? And then there are things that need to get started. There's challenges that are lying ahead of us, and we really need to be prepared as we deal with and are challenged in the upcoming days. And our country as a whole is changing. As was mentioned by the stop there, we're dealing now with the fact that there is not a retention of values anymore. There is an indoctrination, an introduction of newness, and it doesn't mean that the same is always going to be here. And so we can't do things as we've always done it and expect that it's always going to bear the same results. And so we need to be mindful of that. And so I love what the scriptures teach us. In Ephesians chapter 4, again, as Dr. Oler was talking about, in the sense of here's my role and this is the part I will do my best to prepare, to challenge, to give you the resources that you can then use to go out. But the beauty of it is that we're in this together. And Brother Summers talked about that too. This is not one man show. I can't do it. All the staff, even as these great men and women that you have brought in and I'm surrounding myself with, we can't do it all. That's not the point of us doing it all. This is the church. It's the body of Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a part of that universal, but yet locally represented here, this is the fleshing out, the realization. This is where we get to see it in the nitty-gritty and the rubber meets the road and where life-touching life really happens. It happens when we explode out of here and we go about our days. And many of those days, we're alone. And maybe we'll have our families, and sometimes maybe even in your own family, you're the only one that's really serving Christ. But at the same point, God is equipping us, and that is it's neat to watch Him as He interchanges the pronouns in this passage here. Everything about chapter 4 is really a plurality. This is about you in the plural. This is about we in the plural. This is about a sense of us, and then He talks about it in a singular body. There's all this unity. It's a wonderful chapter. But it comes out of chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I want us to be a generational church. Not just in the present, in the reality that we have within our midst, those who are of a senior age and those who are infants in our nursery. That's one dimension of this generational aspect. To me, I want it to be that we are effectively representing Christ until God comes back. And so when we then take the mantle and pass on the mantle, and our time on this earth ends, until that trump sounds and we are together with Christ for all of eternity, I want this to be a place that bears truth and holds it up and lives it out. And that may not be that we can do it in a building like this. We may have to be, as the Chinese, an underground church. But will we be effectively doing it? Even as our culture changes and freedoms change and societies change, are we going to stand on what is true? Is the old expression, come hell or high water? It doesn't change the truth. And that's a little bit of what he alludes to in this passage. as he talks about this concept of verse 13, until we attain to the unity of the faith. And I'm going to, you know, this is what I'm doing as the pastor. I want to equip you. I want to give you, because as the saints, as the body of Christ, we have something that is there, and it's not done. We're not done until we come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, into a mature person, a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so I don't care how many years you've been saved, how much like Christ do you look like today? And that is our standard. And that's what we're always going to be putting up and pushing out, is what does it look like when we put it up against the quality, the character, the representation of Christ? Not 20 years ago, not a pastor, not a deacon, not a title, not an office, but our chief shepherd, Christ. And so my objective is not to point us to another program. My objective is to point us to a person. I want us to keep looking to Christ. We build programs to help us facilitate that. We shut programs down. We start things. We enhance things. We tweak. We adjust, because over time, we can lose the value. We can lose sight of. We can lose perspective. And that's something that's always important to me. Make sure that we're measuring up ourselves against Christ. And then he says in verse 14, as a result, because we're constantly aware of the fullness of Christ, we're not going to be like little children. Anybody here have a four-year-old in your home? Let me see your hand. You got a four-year-old? Any four-year-old? Oh, my word. Why are you all up there? All right? Are you escaping that four-year-old? Is that what that? You know, four-year-olds, I tell you what. You ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, this week it might be a fireman. I can remember we had a school, there was a kid who wanted to be a fireman and, what was the other thing? I think it was like a doctor or something like that. It was some totally just, you know, I know you could be paramedic, that would be, but I mean, it was like, this is totally different. Maybe it was a race car driver and a fireman, but maybe those are the same things. I don't know either. But it's sort of like this concept of always moving around, and as a child, never able to fixate, hold on to, get firm, having a vision for life, because that's not the stage they're at. They're not at a point where they're understanding really the significance of life. That should not be us as the church. We shouldn't be like little children that are constantly tossed here and there in our understanding of the faith and what the doctrines are. And I find that to be so much the case. I mean, you can walk into any bookstore and you can see one so-called spiritual self-help manual after another. And we are bombarded. But the problem is we're listening to too many voices and we're not listening to the Word of God. We need to make sure that we're coming back and verifying everything according to the truth, the integrity of His Word. Not just the popularity or the prolific nature of the character who wrote the book or made the podcast, created the sense of the message. We need to make sure that we are tangible holders of the integrity of God's Word. And so thinking about that, not tossed with the waves, that reminds me of James chapter 1, carried about in every wind of doctrine. We went up to Lookout Mountain yesterday, and we were up there at Rock City, and we went over someone's Sunset Rock or something like that, and we went over there, and on that side, the storm was coming back in. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon, and a beautiful day. We'd been experiencing very little wind. We get over on that side, and that's that western face, and it is just starting to pommel the cliff face there. I couldn't wait to get back in the car. It was cold. You know, those winds change. But we know where the truth is. And every aspect of that, as we think about it, we're not going to be tricked by men, the craftiness and deceitful scheming. You know, if I say something, and this is, I'm going to give you an open license right here, right now. If there is something that you don't agree with me on, you have every right to ask. And here's the thing, is I'm going to go to God's Word, I'm going to ask, okay, so what did I say? And if I am wrong, you better believe I'm going to change. But I want it to be that we do it because it's what the Word of God challenges us to do so. But verse 15, and I love this verse because in the midst of all of this, don't be caught up in, he says, but speaking the truth, how, church? In love. think so many times the church has been, and we've used this a lot, known for more of what we are standing against than what we believe in. And I think we need to get out there and bear the message again that Christ, it doesn't take, the world stands condemned. And in their heart of hearts, they already know they are. They just need a group of people that will love them to grace. Love them to Christ. Love them into a place where they see the truth expressed in a way that people actually enjoy what they believe in, not because they find it a drudgery or something they fear. And I love the end of verse 15. We are to grow up. I've said that to my teenagers a couple times. Would you just grow up a little bit? But at the same time, we need to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head. And then verse 16. What a verse, verse 16. And this is the part that I love about being a pastor in a church. I remember early on, I struggled with, okay, do I want to go into evangelism? Or do I want to do mission work and things like this? But my love is the building of the church. And it's not to say that we don't need men and individuals who go and challenge churches. We don't need, boy, we need missionaries building churches in other parts of the world. But this is what we're building. So we're looking like Christ, and then he says, from whom the whole body, this is now Christ, he is the head, and from him the whole body, this whole body is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. And it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in what? And it's not because I'm here, all right? It's in the love of Christ. You know, so many times I think what happens as a church is that we get so busy about the body and then we throw the head on top. Oh, we need to do this. Now let's see how we can make it look spiritual enough to be accepted. But what we really need to do is make sure that everything flows from Christ, that He is the head of everything. So let's be careful. If there is this concept of something that could be coming into our church that could cause disunity, well, what's leading that? Whose head are you listening to? Yours or Christ? If there's something we really believe in and we're passionate, well, who's leading that? Is it my head or Christ? This is something I've been involved with. I've been doing this for 30 years, and now there is this discussion as to whether I need to change something or do something different. And so who's really leading this, you or Christ? Well, I don't know if I really want to put more investment into this. I'm not sure I believe in this. Well, who's leading it, you or Christ? So in everything that we do, we want it to be that we understand, and I love the way he puts it here, it's everything that is held together, fit together by what every joint supplies. And the way I kind of look at that is every single one of you is an intimate part of the jointing, the network of connecting. It's more about the sense of you understanding that God has snapped you into place. And you are a medium of connectivity to somebody else. So when your feelings get hurt, recognize that when you dwell on that and you don't deal with it appropriately and you cause inflammation in the joints, it can cause a disruption to the rest of the body over time. It's about being unified around this rallying thought that we belong to Christ. And so we're going to respond in biblical ways. And all the good things about that, too, is that when this entire body rallies behind something, can you imagine what we could accomplish for the glory of God? I hope that as we work together, that we will keep this in perspective. You know, verses 17 and following, he's going to challenge you because this is where really it is. This is where verse 16 could collapse if you don't fulfill verses 17 all the way to the end of the chapter. Well, actually, the rest of the book. Everything could fall in, implode, and churches close. My dad's ministry for over 50 years was going into churches that had shut down, or churches that were on the verge of it. churches this size, empty. Marion, Illinois, walked into a facility, had a gymnasium, had a lot of other things, used to have a school, used to all these things. Church, the auditorium, the seat over 600 people, closed. So don't believe that just because this is here and this building exists, that this is our accomplishment for life. No, no. This is the medium. This is the tool that God has given to us so that we might be effectively visible for the world around us. Don't lose sight of that. So let's be encouraged, as we've been challenged already by the previous men. Let's not lose sight. You play a role. You have a participation in this. We are working together. And I am just one man. I am just one part of this grander opportunity that all of us represent. But I'm excited to be a part of this. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us. I'm looking forward to this evening. I hope that you will plan to come. I look forward to as many opportunities as we have to get better acquainted and for me to figure out. Now, let's see, it was Debbie and not Donna. Yes, okay. And learn your names and all of this. And I'm looking forward to being a part of this. And I'm asking that you pray that the Lord would not allow the devil to defeat us and discourage us, but that we would walk in victory and in the power of His might and His work. Father, I pray as we think about your greatness and your grandeur. And Lord, my greatest desire is that you would receive all of the glory, every ounce of it. Lord, there isn't anything inside of me that isn't because of the good that you're doing and you're working, you're leading, you're building. Father, this is a great church. It's made up and comprised of individuals who have come to faith and they know you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray as we work together, as we seek to honor and glorify you, that we would be led by your leadership through the ministry of your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might then stand before you as our Father one day, able to say that we have laid down our lives, we have given everything. We're like that drink offering of Philippians, that we just are poured out for you. And I would love to hear you be able to truly and genuinely say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Lord, I look forward to your reward system. And Lord, here upon this earth, we may receive very few of those things. But Lord, we anticipate that there is joy that we look forward to and anticipate. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have a little sense of that joy of what heaven's going to be like right here on earth when we come together and we share together as the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that there would be a real sense that this is what heaven's going to be like. We love each other. We encourage one another. We're excited to worship our great God together and to serve Him even for all of eternity. So bless us, Lord, as a church. And guide us and direct us. And Lord, I thank you for the staff. I thank you for each one who has poured out their lives into this ministry. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us as well as a family as we adjust and we begin to pour in our lives. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be effective together for your glory. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Kelly, Caleb, Isaac, Micah, and Elijah. Come on up. You guys stand down here. I'd also like all the deacons to come forward and gather around. While they're coming, what a journey to get here. You know, you think for the last year and a half or so, everything that we've gone through, all the choices, all the decisions that have been made to get to this point, that's pretty cool. Think of the work that the staff have put in, the extra work. These deacons have served you guys well. Sometimes pretty interesting deacons meetings, to be honest with you. But this is where we are today. Your decisions, our choices. Adam and the family, all the choices and decisions that they've made all brought us here today. I do ask that you guys, if you ever have moved with a family before, remember that. Because it's not easy, right? Four teenage boys makes it simple because you have no girls, but it's not easy. All right. I know one thing, they're really looking for a cat because they love cats. And in fact, I think the boys have bottled up cat and put it upstairs to keep Kelly away from their room. So that's working well. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your goodness. You're such a good, good God. Help us to never, never think otherwise. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the academy. We thank you for all the mission work of the church. We thank you for each member here, Lord, for their input, their contribution. We pray for unity. We pray that we'll have a grace will abound and that we will allow Adam to lead as the Lord leads him. Help us to die to self. Lord, we think of all the logistic issues that need to be taken care of. Give us grace. Lord, help us to love one another. And as Chris preached so well last week about unity and dying to self, we love you, Lord. We pray that you will bless us going forward. Bless Adam and the family. Help them to feel the love. Help the boys to see that being in the ministry is a cool thing because of the way we love their dad and mom. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Dan, Tip.
Let's pray. Father, as we continue in prayer today, we want to honor you with all that's done here today. And as we move forward as a church, Lord, I pray that today would not be a celebration of the culmination of a process, but Lord, that we would look forward to a new beginning and moving forward as you would have us to move. Lord, I pray that you'd give Pastor Adam wisdom as he brings the word to us, challenges us, teaches us, and prepares us to move into this world and share the gospel with others. Lord, I pray that each one of us, not just Pastor Adam and Kelly, but every one of us as individuals and collectively as a body, Lord, that we would walk worthy of your calling in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would be not just representatives of Grace Baptist Church, but we would be representatives of you, our Lord and Savior in this world, to people around us who need you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing workers, that we would participate and share in lifting the load as you've gifted and prepared each one of us, that together as a unified body, Lord, that we would move forward with your work in this community. Lord, continue to bless the Love family as they acclimate to new life in a new city. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see this as being home very quickly, that you would just calm the fears and questions that they may have and doubts that they may even have in their minds, Lord, that you would work through all of those, that you would put a hedge about this family, protect them from sin and for other things that would distract them from serving you in this church. Lord, we again thank you for answered prayer, for bringing this family to us as we work together to serve you. In Christ's name.
Let's continue to pray. Gracious Father, as we bow before you, this local body, we come with humble hearts, Father, and we pray, Father, that you bind and bond our hearts together in Christ's love. We pray, Father, we will be about your glory. We thank you, Father, for bringing us to this point. We've seen your hand work. We are grateful and thankful in our hearts. I ask, Father, you'll help us to have a heart of gratitude, a heart of forgiveness, a heart of humility, that we'll have devotion. And that we'll have grace in our lives, Father, that will show forth the truth of your word as we go out of this building in the days ahead. We pray for Adam and Kelly and their sons. And just pray, Father, that you will lift them up, help them to settle in. Help us, Father, to operate as one unit, filled with the Holy Spirit. That we'll be about your business. We can't do this on our own, for sure, and we just humbly ask that you fill us and use us, that this year, 2020, will be a year, Father, that be a year of your word, of living out your word in our lives, of diligently representing you, Father, in love and compassion. The opportunities we have ahead of us in the world we live in today, Father, seem like more than ever before, that you'll help us to die to self. That you will help us to help the world to see that we're Christians because of the love we have for one another. And how that looks, I'm not sure in this day and age. It's a different environment than biblical times. And just, I pray, Father, that you'll help us to seek out those ways that we can show the love of Christ to one another, so that people around us, Father, that are not believers will wonder and even in awe of the love they see. Use us, we pray. Thank you for the love family and for bringing them to us. God bless them, fill them, and use them, we pray. Help us to be one unit as we go forth, Father, to bring about your kingdom and your love and your gospel. It's in your name we pray this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Tip. We, as we were planning the service, we thought it was significant that our leadership surround the Love family and pray for them, but we also feel like it's significant if our church body surrounds them. So if you would make your way down here, we want to surround them and also pray for them. I have a couple of people that are going to pray. So if you would like to join us down here on the main floor and surround them, we're not looking for a photo. We're looking for a picture of Ephesians chapter 4, okay? Surrounding them and praying for them. So come on, we'll take just a couple of minutes for you to get down here, and then we'll have some folks pray for us. We'll wait on you, so come on down. Don't feel like we're going to leave you out. We'd love for you to be a part of it. If you're visiting with us this morning, feel free to join us down here as well. It doesn't mean you're joining our church, but we would love to have you, but we want this to be a special time of prayer. And after our prayer time, don't go anywhere, because we're going to sing We Believe. If you need to sit down somewhere on the main floor, feel free to do that too. As we were planning earlier, this concept really came about. Some of you have been here in Grace for a long time, and you've seen us kind of send off missionary families along the way, and we talk about holding the ropes. And we've actually had physical ropes down the aisles and up into the balcony at times that we can hold on to as believers and commit to pray, commit to give, and commit to go. And so it is with this concept this morning. We don't have physical ropes, but in your mind, just know that you're holding on to each other and to the ropes and obviously to the Lord. And he's going to give us wisdom as we take this journey together. We're thankful for this significant landmark in the history of grace. And we want to make sure that we bathe it in prayer from now on further. I've asked Gary Torner to pray, and then Alicia Snyder is going to pray for us as well.
Let's all bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful as we stand here before you. We're just extremely thankful for this day, how you provided and guided. We are thankful for our staff, how through the months they held us together and did extra work, and our deacons, our leadership group, and also for the search committee, how they diligently sought your man for this position. And we just are thankful for Adam and his family. And Romans 10 says, blessed are the feet of them that preach the gospel. We are so thankful for him. And we know that you have prepared him for this role as shepherd. And through his education, through his training, through his experience, and we know that this is the man you have for us right now. We're grateful for him. We pray for wisdom for him and spiritual understanding as he guides us. We are so grateful for your provision. And we pray for his family as they settle in a new community, a new city, new church, of course, and for the boys' new school. And we just pray that you'd help them feel loved. And as the things that were shared today and the people that have blessed them already, we thank you for them. And we just look forward to our body as we heard this morning, how we can be unified in spreading the gospel in Chattanooga and being a light. And we pray for that. And in Christ's name, I ask these things. Amen.
Kind Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing Adam, Kelly, and their family to us. We praise you for what you're going to do and what you're doing in us now. Lord, we thank you for sparing Kelly's life 2 years ago. Please continue to strengthen and heal her. Thank you for her sweet spirit as she deals with all these allergies. Give her wisdom, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would give Kelly wisdom from above that's pure, peaceable, approachable as she gets to know us. Fill her with your love and grace for our church, Lord. May we love her well. And as Chris reminded us last week, Father, please give Kelly good friends here. Lord, women need friends so much to share the concerns of their hearts. And you know, Lord, a mother's heart can almost be consumed with concern for her children. So increase Kelly's confidence in your ability to take care of Caleb, who'll be far away, Micah, Isaac, and Eli here in school. And I know how hard it is to be the new student at school. So, Father, please go before these boys. Protect them from the evil one. Protect them from themselves making poor choices. Protect them from other students who can be uncaring in their own insecurities. Encompass them with your angels. Give them friends. Go before them and let them see your hand at work for them. And we'll all praise you for your love and care for them. Thank you, Lord, for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we go, we have one important fact of business, I believe, but Kelly is going to take us through. Yeah, you can.
As the pastor of membership, I can tell you that few member candidates have ever been vetted to the degree that Adam and Kelly have. They've combed in detail through our church bylaws and our doctrinal statement. We've heard clear testimony, faith in Christ and the gospel through Adam and Kelly, and our deacon and church body has affirmed God's calling them here. So, all in favor this morning of receiving Adam and Kelly as members of Grace Baptist Church, would you signify by saying amen?
Amen.
Okay. And any opposed, signify by like sign. So you're still saying amen? here we go. We welcome you. We love you already. And we look forward to experiencing our time with you.
Amen.
Let's close this morning by singing, We Believe.
Sing about this now.
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation.
Thank you for those that spoke this morning with the charge and for those that helped us in leading prayer. I know you've been praying, as we've talked about so often. Tonight's gathering is just a fellowship. There's no formal program or anything. We just want to come and be here together. We need some help setting up in the cafeteria, as we do oftentimes. It takes about 10 minutes, but if some of you, especially men, if you could help us with putting down some of those cafeteria tables, that would be helpful. We'll do that in about 5 minutes in the back, and we would appreciate that. Remember, bringing food enough for your family That's kind of how we address these potlucks. So if you bring one dish, we're probably going to run out. So just bring enough for your family, and that'll help us with making sure we feed the 5,000 or however many we have tonight. Probably a little less than that. So we love you guys. Excited about ministering together with all of you and meeting Caleb here in a little while. But we love you already and appreciate your friendship already, and looking forward to ministering together with you. Lord bless you. Go in the love of the Lord. Lord bless you.